The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank God it's Friday. How you doing, little buddy?
Hey, Crudy, I am doing great. Thank you, my man. Looking good in the Harris 2024 shirt. Hey, Rich, good to see you, man. Thank you for working so hard. A fair audience, happy Friday. Join us. Hear the grievances. Share your thoughts. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we've got a tremendous show for the people. Try it a little harder than most Fridays. Hell, you showed up. That's our...
I know, man. I know.
Don't get used to it, people. But we got some fine guests. They're showing up. Batman coming in studio with me here in Madison. Matt Rothschild, former executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And he's got some advice for you fine people on how to vote on the August 13th proposed constitutional referendums. I don't want to steal all his thunder, but no and no. But
he's
he'll tell
you
why.
Grievances, and now you're going to hear about it.
Yes, airing them with Batman in about 20 minutes. All also, right. Dom, in the 4 o'clock hour, a little earlier than he sometimes joins us, but former U.S. Attorney James Santel, and I don't know if you saw the national lead, Dom, but apparently the Egyptians might have cashed out $10 million in cash, given it to Donald Trump. Trump miraculously finds $10 million at the end of his campaign, self-funds $10 million at the very, very end. And it turns out that money might have come from Egypt. Egypt, that would be a foreign source.
There's an investigation of that that was apparently maybe shut down erroneously.
Well, you know, depends on if you're on Trump's team or not. Just ask Bill Barr. Bill Barr coming up once again, giving cover to his former boss, the former president. So that is the exclusive that dropped today at the Washington Post. We'll share the highlights and the details, and then we'll ask our man, James Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review. You know, he plays out on Saturday mornings on the Civic Media Network. You can hear him 9 to 11, or you can stick around till 4:30 at least when he joins us here today. Dom, you're wearing slimming black as often your...
My Guns N' Roses concert t-shirt from the last time they were in Milwaukee. Yep, I got it on, man. Supporting it. It's Friday, baby.
Are you going to a show today? I know Rich is going to a show. You going to a show?
I am not, no.
Rich, who are you seeing?
2 weeks in a row, performers at Red Woodstock. Santana last week, John Fogerty tonight.
Oh, Fogerty.
Oh, man. Where's
my
Fogerty
wife
playing?
Loves John Fogerty.
That'll be
Where's
there.
The show at?
At the Amp, right there on the lake.
Oh, no kidding, yep. Man. He's got some new material, man. It sounds great. He still sounds great.
Yes, he does. I've seen him quite a few times, and he can still deliver.
Yeah, he does. Awesome.
I won't comment on your shirt, Rich, because my mama said if you got nothing nice to say, say nothing at all. Maybe that was Thumper's mama. But I will tell you, this shirt, this brand new Harris 2024 shirt, anything but slimming. this shirt.
I mean, is that a triple X? What size is that?
I gotta look, but I got yeah. I gotta tell you, I'm supposed to wear this out tonight. Mrs. Crudy has got a shiny new fashionable, cute little Kamala 2024 t-shirt, and I've got one that's like a bed sheet size. I mean, Andre Jacques could wear this thing, Dom. This is a big shirt. And I love the sentiment.
Yes.
But I'm like a little kid wearing his dad's shirt right now. You can't even, it's like my legs are sticking out the bottom. You can't even see if I'm wearing shorts or not.
You know, just drop the pants, wear a belt. You'll be good to go. It's a little Harris skirt this evening, man.
Maybe a moo-moo. Call it a boo-boo. Dom, if you only do one thing all weekend long, do yourself a favor and go to YouTube or the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. We've shared this. And watch the new Andre Shock video. I would not normally promote anything that Andre Shock did in his life, but I got to tell you, I'm promoting this one. You got to watch. This is entertainment, or at least political entertainment, Dom, in this world we live in. So few things make me smile. But this new video from Andre Shock, apparently he fashions himself as a wrestler. A wrestler, Dom, sort of a WWE style.
Or a boxer. If nothing else, certainly an athlete.
And if you've ever met Andre Shock, he is anything. I mean, you know, Dom teases me because I'm out of shape. But Andre Shock is like 50 years down the path beyond me, and not chronologically, but, you know, like body age. He's a big man. Not a big, you know, push away guy. I got to think he, or maybe he's got a thyroid problem. You know, you always hear about the kid. It's a thyroid problem.
Well, he didn't get COVID really bad.
Yeah, had to be intubated, was in the hospital for like a month, and still is anti-vax. Strange fellow. Weird. You might say this, my first reaction to this, yeah. You know, the MAGA party, and he's not the truest of all the MAGA candidates because he's running in the 8th CD, wants to be your congressman up there in Green Bay. And he's running in the primary, and there's Roger Roth, who is surpassing him mightily in the fundraising, but Roger Roth isn't getting a lot of publicity. And then there's Tony Weed. And if you've driven up in the 8th CD, and I was there last weekend, you see Donald Trump endorsed. And then he puts his name, Tony Weed. So
a little small on the bottom. Just so you know, it's all about Trump. I am the Trump sycophant. So says Tony Weed.
Well, I don't know how much money big old Andre's got left, Dom, but he spent a bucket load of it, and he put it all in a YouTube video for my entertainment this fine Friday afternoon, and I recommend. We're going to play the audio, but you got to go watch. You got to see it.
It's certainly a visual product. You can get a feel for it, a flavor, certainly from the audio, but, man, you just got to see Andre. Andre at work, man, he's throwing punches, yo.
In case you don't have the opportunity, let me describe just a little bit. You remember when you were a kid and they used to have that show, Fat Albert? Think about that guy in like boxing ropes with the top up. And then Rich is going to play it. So just get that visual. Fat Albert in the boxing robes and play it, Rich.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the big man known for winning the big battles with a powerful right hook that crushes establishment rhinos like Robin Voss. Andre Jacques has delivered devastating knockout blows to special interests, higher taxes, and the woke mob. The right man to secure our border and body slam the liberal agenda. The undisputed conservative champion, your next congressman, Andre the Giant Jacques.
I'm Andre Jacques, and I approve this message.
And then his little approval tag, his little endorsement tag at the end. Does that sound like a formidable man there? You don't even seem to want to be my congressman, Andre.
The voice doesn't match the body, or at least the image, certainly, that they're trying to portray. And powerful right hook? Come on, man. I think he'd hurt himself if he actually tried to throw a powerful right hook. And he's throwing punches in the video. You know, like, if you ever like hit a bag, man, before, you know, the guy, it's just pure arm work, man. Dude's got no core. He's got no leverage. He's got no rhythm, no style. It's what power, so be everything that you are not and just throw it out at the world. Because and how is he going to secure the border? That's Andre Jacques. He's taking on the woke mob, whatever.
And what was his crack about Robin Voss? Robin Voss is still He took out Robin Voss, they claim. How so? He's still the Speaker of the Assembly in the state of Wisconsin. There were a couple of recall efforts, apparently, Jacques in on that. Well, they were all unsuccessful. They couldn't even put their guy on the ballot, could they?
Well, why go there, right? I mean, so obviously trying to appeal to the mega megas, right? Because he didn't get the endorsement. Weed got the endorsement from Trump. But, you know, Andre the Giant Jacques. I'm Andre Jacques, and I approve this message.
You know, Trump has always been sort of a WWE villain figure, right? I mean, literally.
Yeah.
He made his bones in part as a buffoon in professional wrestling.
Well, I think he continues to make his bones as a buffoon. But yeah, he actually shaved Vince McMahon's head, right? That was one of the things.
He did. So, Dom, I would like to get the participation of the audience today. It is Friday. And please, do yourself a favor. Watch that video, Vondre Shock. I mean, it's not a pretty sight, but it's a funny sight. It's worth a gander. It's worth a YouTube in this case, Dom.
Yeah, go find it. It's on our Facebook and our Twitter as well, at Devil Radio. It's worth the 30 seconds of entertainment, especially if you know the dude.
You know, if Andre Jacques can declare himself Andre the Giant, you know, the beloved Andre the Giant from the Princess Bride and, of course, wrestling fame. I mean, what are the other candidates? You were saying before we came on the air, Dom, who's that wannabe rich guy? Ted DiBiase,
the millionaire?
The Ted Million Dollar Man or something? Are we sure that's not Egyptian Ted DiBiase? Because that could be Donald Trump's new moniker.
Could be.
There is some reporting that would suggest that perhaps he took some illegal campaign funds back in 16 in the form of cash, 200 pounds of $100 bills delivered by the Egyptians, and the investigation hidden. Covered up, you might say, by the former attorney general appointed by Trump, Bill Barr. We'll be talking about that, I suspect, with our friend James Santel, former U.S. attorney. He joins us at 4:30. Batman, he's coming. He's already got a moniker. What's his wrestling name? What, Matt Rothschild is his real name. But he's Batman in the ring, Dom. And you.
Why do you call him Batman, man? No one knows. Tell the people. Why do we refer to Matt Rothschild as Batman?
Oh, I don't even remember anymore. It's been too long. Why do we?
Because when the call goes out, Matt Rothschild answers.
You know, I was trying to figure out what to call you, Dom. Like, if you had a wrestling name, what would be your appropriate name?
Jimmy Superfly Snuka, of course.
Call you... What's that little guy's name? Max Mini, the 3'7".
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Stick around. Matt Rothschild going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Dom, I don't know what Andre Jacques having for dinner, but he's going to eat a lot of it, I suspect. He's got a new video out.
I mean, he's a giant, right? He's proclaiming he is a giant. So he's got to eat a lot. Giants, they eat a lot. That's what they do. They're giants.
Well, he'd like to be a political giant of sorts, Dom. He'd like to be your congressperson if you live in the 8th and represent the great state of Wisconsin. And his newest effort, this video, Dom, it's humorous. I actually give him a little bit of credit for this. I mean, if you're Andre Jacques, what are you going to say good about yourself? I mean, look.
I mean, it's perhaps a little intentional self-deprecating. Right? I mean, I can appreciate that humor.
Well, if he wasn't a flat earther, he might compare himself to the gravitational pull of the earth. But, you know, I don't know how he thinks you stick to the ground, Dom. But anyways, he always sticks very, very well to the ground.
God's love keeps you on the ground.
Is that it? Dom, yeah, I suspect, given the opportunity, he would eat him some sandhill crane tonight.
Oh,
you know,
the ribeye of the sky.
Our friend Joel Clayfish, you know, his wife ran for governor most recently in 2022, didn't make it through the primary. Tim Michaels spent a lot of his personal resources to lose mightily to Governor Evers and then be quite regretful. Wish I had some of my money back.
Yeah. And that was, of course, after he called us a bunch of lazy Wisconsinites. But yeah, please continue.
But Joel's been a friend of mine.
This guy, yes.
In broadcast for some number of years. And when I first met Joel, he was doing a show on like WISN TV. It was like stab it, kill it, eat it, cook it, bake it, something of that sort. You know, it was a whole series of stuff you did. And now he does Raised in the Wisco on the weekends, but it's sort of a chefing show. It's how you cook wild game. And Joel likes to cook the wild game. First he hunts it, and then he eats it.
I mean, if you're going to hunt it, you got to eat it, right? What are you going to just going to stuff it? So I'm down with that. That's fine.
And Joel Clayfish was the very first one that suggested to us we should be hunting sandhill cranes. And he described them, as you mentioned, Dom, the ribeye of the sky. Like, I like ribeye.
I mean, so do I. I'm actually kind of interested about what he's talking. I've never had a sandhill crane.
Well, probably not. Ask Andre Jock. It's what's for dinner, Dom. But
how would Joel know then? Man, if someone ate it somewhere, if it's got the nickname the ribeye of the sky, it's been eaten.
Well, the sandhill crane apparently is rebounded mightily. And once upon a time, there was much concern about the cranes. They're migratory fowl, waterfowl, dinner food, something like that, depending on your point of view. And they've rebounded to the point, Dom, I see these cranes everywhere. I live in Middleton. I live across from the park. They've pretty much taken over the baseball diamond. There's a couple plus kid. They walk around out there. I saw cranes crossing Mendota Avenue in Middleton the other day. They're walking all around Middleton. And that's just my personal experience. Maybe we're a very crane-friendly neighborhood. Who knows? Lots of green space. But apparently, they're starting to take meetings, Dom, on how to manage the sandhill crane in the obvious probable direction. They're going to hunt them, and Joel's going to cook them and eat them. A little coverage from the urbanmilwaukee.com. A committee of lawmakers, conservationists, and farmers met for the first time yesterday to study ways to manage Wisconsin's growing population of sandhill cranes. Now, these are, they're beautiful creatures. They got the long legs, long wings. The eastern population of sandhill cranes, which includes Wisconsin, has rebounded after nearly being hunted to extinction in the late 1800s. The most recent count last fall observed more than 110,000 birds, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And as the population expands, cranes have caused crop losses on some Wisconsin farms. That prompted Republican lawmakers to put a bill forward in 2021 that would allow hunting of sandhill cranes. But the bill failed to advance in the legislature. Rep. Paul Tittle, a Republican from Manitowoc, Dom, introduced the proposal in the assembly and serves as the chair of the study committee. He says, "We're not trying to do any certain outcome on this, but we want to study the sandhill cranes and their tremendous success here in Wisconsin. They've come back from the early 1900s from almost nothing. I think that's important, and we entrust the DNR to manage our game." Well, Dom, the Joint Legislative Council Study Committee is made up of 12 members. They include lawmakers from both political parties and reps from the International Crane Foundation, the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association, and the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. So good representation at the table. Although I don't know who's been excluded. Seems like there's a lot of parties represented. Now, they're claiming crop losses, Dom. The state count counts an average of 50,000 sandhill cranes each year, according to Taylor Finger from the DNR. The most recent survey shows the eastern population grew about 19% in 2022 compared to the previous year, 20% more birds. 1 year. Now you got a problem.
Apparently, the U.S. Department of Agriculture receives about 180 complaints from farms in Wisconsin stemming from damage to corn, wheat, and potatoes. Corn growers have reported around $900,000 to $1 million worth of damage each year to the DNR. Under state law, farmers are unable to receive payments for crop damage, though the state's wildlife damage abatement program, unless the DNR authorizes a hunt. So they gotta do a hunt if they want to tap some crop damage money. You know, socialism.
Well, it's better than throwing your dogs at wolves, Tom. We fund that here, right? To the tune of up to $2,500 per dead dog.
You taking Barkley out hunting anytime soon? He's getting old.
I was going to take him over to Christy Gnome's quarry at some point, but he's been pretty good lately. You know, he's fat and old like his old man, like me. And, you know, we both just sit around in the heat and kind of try not to slide on the... We got the new flooring. Berkeley's having trouble, you know, like getting up. So he mostly just lays there now.
Yeah, I get it.
Like father, like son? Folks, we're at the Devil's Advocates. Got a fine guest. He is Batman. We put out the call. He answered. He is Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Currently, still, friend of the Devil's Advocates. And we called, and he answered. He's been our lead-in for most of the week. You've probably been listening to him on the Maggie Dawn Show. He joins us next. Stick around. More Devils with Matt Rothschild.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We welcome back our returning champion. He is Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Recently, our fine lead-in. He's been filling in for Maggie Dawn the last couple days.
Oh, nice.
He's Batman. Welcome back, Matt. How you been, man?
Doing great, Trudy. It's great to see you. Great to be in the booth with you. Great to see you, Dom.
Yeah, you too, Matt. Good to see you. Thanks for coming around.
I appreciate being on.
It seems as if retirement suits you, Matt.
Well, I've been dragged out of retirement to do a little radio work, which I enjoy. I would be feeling delinquent if I wasn't doing at least something to try to help the Democrats beat this threat to our democracy that is in human form, Donald Trump.
Well, Matt, before we turn our attention to local issues and the referendums that will be on the August 13th ballot here in the state of Wisconsin, got to get your reaction to Joe Biden stepping down. And Kamala Harris, man, I haven't talked to you about this, but Holy cow, my whole world has done a 180.
Well, it's just been a tremendous change. I mean, I knew Joe Biden had to go. And after that debate, there was no question whatsoever in my mind. And I posted as soon as the debate was over, Joe's got to go on Facebook. And some of my Democratic Party friends were saying, no, 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 what are you doing trying to help Trump and all this nonsense? And the fact of the matter is, anyone with two ears and two eyes could see, or one ear and one eye could see that he wasn't the person who can get us across the finish line. And so the first reaction when he finally relinquished was... exhaling, you know, oh, thank you.
relief, huge
exhale. And then it was exhilaration because, you know, and joy and kind of giddiness. And that giddiness hasn't worn off yet. And it's just a tremendous feeling on our side to see a talented candidate who's gotten so much more talented in the last 4 years. Of course, she's been giving speeches all across the country and all across the world for the last 3.5 years. Who wouldn't get better? You know, she put in her 10,000 hours and she knows what she's doing now. And her attacks on Trump have been brilliant. That one line about, you know, I know Trump's type was perfect, but she's been attacking him, you know, six ways to Sunday and landed a lot of punches. And of course, then he goes to the National Association of Black Journalists. I know Dom doesn't think we should talk about it, but, you know, he made a total fool of himself there. I think, you know, he's not going to be able to help himself, even though he's got a professional campaign manager who wants him to keep to the script. He's going to go out in a flame of racism, and it's just not going to help him.
Matt Dyke. Digression just for a moment, but we talked about it yesterday. Given the opportunity, would you interview Donald Trump? Would you want that interview?
Yeah, I mean, I was on your side on that. I thought I would interview him. I thought the National Association of Black Journalists was correct to interview him. I think any network that gets a chance to interview the leading candidate, I mean, the one candidate on one of the two leading parties has an obligation to interview him. And you just got to be tough like they were at the NABJ.
I thought they were. Matt Rothschild, our fine guest, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Matt, yesterday we learned not only was Joe Biden being pressured somewhat, obviously, reality and polling and, you know, Democratic leaders, but at the very same time, he was negotiating a prisoner swap, a prisoner release from Russia, and apparently put the seal on that deal about an hour before he withdrew from the race. Matthew, when you learn this news, does it cast any of what you know about Joe Biden in any different light?
No, it's all to his credit, too, and give the man a ton of credit. He's been a much better president than I thought he'd be. I don't agree with his initial wholehearted support for Netanyahu. I've got questions on Ukraine a little bit, but domestically he's been great. Here he was really good. And I also think, I think Pete Buttigieg put it best. You know, he knows how to be a really good president, but also he was a terrible candidate. He was never going to be a good candidate. And this is a candidate race. It's not your resume over the last 3 years. It's, you know, what are you going to do for us tomorrow? And are you going to be able to, you know, speak during the debate? Are you going to be able to perform in front of the media? And he just wasn't able to do that. So he wasn't, he never has been able to relate to voters in a mass way. He's good in person, I hear. I've never met him in person. But, wasn't like, you know, Bill Clinton or Obama or FDR or Jack Kennedy or anyone who could, or Ronald Reagan for that matter, who could make some connection with people while he was in office. He didn't use the means of communication very well. Hell, he barely had a press conference. He wouldn't speak at the Super Bowl opportunities. That was a huge red flag that, you know, maybe he's not up. Maybe he's not up to the job as far as campaigning goes. But I think he's done a real good job as president. But it's different when you're a candidate for president.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal, Matt Rothschild. I know we want to get to these constitutional amendment questions, but specifically on the Harris campaign, a vice president has got to be picked here soon sometime. Matt was curious to know what your thoughts were on that.
I've got a strong preference for Pete Buttigieg. I think Pete has got the best talent of this group. He's best on media platforms. He'd be a great debater against Vance. I mean, he would just ruin Vance. And he's just so quick on his feet. He's so experienced as far as dealing with the media. I think he's got a perfectly fine resume for it. I think Pete has the most to offer. For a while there, it was for Mark Kelly. On paper, he looks great. I don't think he can talk that well with the media. You got to be able to hit that, you know, major league pitching, and I'm not sure he'd do a great job in the debate. So I want Pete.
Do you think the fact that they're starting in Pennsylvania, Matt, is that a tell? Could it be Josh Shapiro and they don't give a damn what you want?
I'm sure they don't. And they didn't call me for my advice. You can bet on that. And that is a clue anyway. A tell, as we say in poker.
Or maybe tells us nothing because most candidates are not rolled out in their hometowns or home states.
So well, they
VP
need
candidates.
They need Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania has been the laggiest of the swing states in some polls that I've seen. And so, yeah, maybe it makes some sense. Shapiro has some issues. He's for school choice, privatization of schools with public money is not something I'm for. He hasn't been great on Gaza, so some of the activist base may not like him for that reason. Are those two strikes against him? Maybe. Is there a third strike against him? I don't know. But I also don't know how great he is in handling media and speaking. So I know Pete's great at that.
All right, Matt, let's get to the local issues. I keep hearing about these constitutional amendments. We've got to, you know, vote on this, a couple of weeks now, August 13th. Cap Times editorial telling us, no, everyone's telling me no. Matt, what is on the ballot and why should we vote no?
Well, you definitely should vote no on these two questions. And these are constitutional amendments not brought to you by mass petitions of the people of Wisconsin, but by your gerrymandered Republican legislature, by Robin Ooh. Voss. And what they would do would take power away from the governor, just like they tried to do and succeeded in doing the lame duck session. And then specifically, it's about taking the governor's authority to distribute federal funds that are allocated to Wisconsin, taking that out of his or her hands, whoever's the governor. And this power has resided, this authority has resided in the hands of the governor of Wisconsin for 90 years. It's not like Tony Evers has been doing some power grab. It's the Republicans that are doing the power grab here. It's a last grasp at power, maybe before these folks lose some of their power that they're going to lose because the gerrymandered maps aren't so gerrymandered anymore. So let me just get technical for a second and read the first question, because part of it is these questions are impossible to understand, they're worded in a very crafty way that, to the extent that you can understand them, maybe you say, oh, okay, that makes sense, I'll vote yes. Vote no, that's the point. Here's question one. Delegation of appropriation power. Shall Section 35(1) of Article 4 of the Constitution, and who knows what the hell that is, be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how monies shall be appropriated? Well, that's confusing. Not delegate. Delegate to whom isn't defined in that question. And how monies shall be appropriated isn't specified. This is federal monies. I mean, we've already paid our federal taxes to the federal government. This isn't state taxes. And then when the federal government, in a disaster, like there's floods all over Wisconsin or a tornado wipes out a town, we'll get federal relief money. That relief money's got to come here and go out the door fast to really help people who are suffering. If it goes back to the legislature, you know, they can sit on that money forever. They've been sitting on $135 million to purify water that's contaminated by PFAS in the state. They move really slowly. And in an emergency especially, you want that money to get out the door fast.
And Matt, during the pandemic, during the COVID, the legislative-controlled legislature refused to even get together and lost additional federal funds that could have been allocated to the state of Wisconsin. All they would have had to do is do their freaking job, Matt. So they want to take the power away from the governor, but they've got a god-awful track record of not doing what's in the best interest of their own freaking constituents in the middle of a pandemic. Yep. Why would we want that?
We wouldn't. I mean, you're right to mention COVID, Crudy, because they didn't do anything for 300 days during the COVID pandemic to help any of us out by deciding there's an emergency in Wisconsin and we should give some relief to the people of Wisconsin. You know, we're sitting on a, what, $3 billion, $4 billion surplus, and they're getting a rash because they're sitting on that cash for so long. I mean, they're just refusing to do anything and to change the Wisconsin Constitution so that in an emergency, money can't get to the people who need it right away, which is going to be the consequence of this, which isn't spelled out in this question. That's another thing that's wrong with it. The logical consequences of voting yes on these two questions, that consequence is not spelled out. And it could be ruinous for people whose homes have just been destroyed by a tornado or whose business has just been flooded and they're totally out of luck.
And Matt,
Is this, if I may, is this limited to, as you say, emergency type funds, or is this applicable to other federal funding?
My understanding is it's applicable to other federal funding. So if there's a huge settlement with Big Pharma that's, you know, been addicting people to pharmaceutical drugs, that money goes to the governor and the governor gets to distribute that. And I think, you know, that's appropriate too. Again, it's our federal dollars. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but so it seems to me the Republicans are just trying to slide themselves in as like the middleman, maybe take a piece off the top and then, you know, filter the funds to, you know, their cronies in the way they would see fit versus how it's been done for 90 years. So less efficiency with the dollars and taking longer to get distributed with the Republican middleman. Am I getting that about right?
Yeah, you're getting absolutely right. And, you know, and then maybe them stealing credit for getting the money out the door when they eventually get it out the door, rather than letting the governors say, you know, I distributed this money, vote for me. I think it's all that stuff wrapped into one.
Matt, let's come back to the PFAS for just a minute. This federal money that's already been allocated to the state of Wisconsin, like $125 million, and people are drinking bad water or don't have the ability to even drink the tap water. I think French Island, Dom and I went to college in La Crosse. French Island's in the La Crosse area. The residents there can't drink the water, and it's been going on for years now, and they continue to drink bottled water, but you're showering in it, right? So the question becomes, Matt, you know, when your own constituents don't have water, what is more fundamental than governments, you know, perhaps providing clean drinking water? That's why we have government in some small part.
But this is a perfect example is why the legislature shouldn't be the ones who are interfering with federal funds. This $125, $135 million in cleanup of PFAS would have purified water for about 300,000, 400,000 Wisconsin citizens. not just those in the La Crosse area. And why are the Republicans in the legislature not pushing that through? Because the bill that Evers supported would not have exempted any of the companies that were contaminating the water with PFAS from legal liability. So the Republicans are defending those companies, putting up a shield for those companies in the meantime, forcing hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites to shower in contaminated water.
But couldn't they allocate the water and work out who's responsible in the future? I mean, couldn't they allocate the money first?
Well, I think the money's got to get out the door one way or another. The sooner the better.
Yeah, but then they give up your leverage, right?
Well, that's the game that's being played.
The constitutional referendums on the August 13th ballot in the state of Wisconsin. You heard it from Batman. Vote no, and then vote no again. And then come back and listen to more Devil's Advocates with Matt Rothschild.
Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join the political party on the Fridays, hearing the grievances at 844-967-2789.
Did you ever dance with the devil by the cold moonlight? Matt Rothschild.
In the pale moonlight, but yes.
I forget, man. It's Vicky Vale... who was that? Michael Keaton, the original
Jack
Dark Knight.
Yeah,
that was years ago, man. That was like 1989. I'm supposed to remember every line from every movie from 1989. We do have Batman here with us, though. He is Matt Rothschild, retiree.
Oh, God.
Friend of ours. You don't look like a retiree, man.
Well, it's been about a year and a month, and I was perfectly happy being retired and just playing chess.com and watching my birds, playing a little poker, playing a little tennis out in the woods, knocking down some buckthorn. But I would have felt bad if I didn't.
What's buckthorn?
Buckthorn's a nasty invasive bush that spreads like crazy if you don't control it.
Oh, I thought maybe some nasty beer, but you went in the wood and you drank what they had.
No, they're knocking it down in a literal sense with a saw.
I see. You're like George W. Bush, Claire and Brush.
Speaking of George W., where is George W. right now? I want George W. and every other Republican who has a conscience to come out and say, I am going to vote for Kamala Harris now. I want Romney to say it. I want Tommy Thompson to
say it. We
need
Republicans of character like Dick Cheney to stand up.
You know, anybody at this point
can't see it.
Who will help us out and get Kamala Harris elected and rid this country of the threat that is Donald Trump, I'm for.
What about the Sound of Silence, though, Matt? I mean, they're not. And Tommy Thompson, like a month or two ago, is back on the Trump train.
Disgraceful. I mean, absolutely disgraceful. Tommy Thompson, come on, man. You're old. You've got your reputation intact. Why do you have to front for this guy who is a menace to our democracy?
Do you think there's a real sense of foreboding now with the MAGA? Do you think they sense the change in emotion, the change in momentum? I mean, it's becoming obvious. Obviously, something's going on with this Harris candidacy. We see it on the left. But when I see Trump go to the National Association of Black Journalists and lose his racist mind, to me, it says he is starting to become desperate. He senses he has lost the momentum. And if anything, he's just trying to do anything crazy enough to win back one of the news cycles.
But it's not going to, he wants the attention, but it's not going to help him win the election. He may win a news cycle. He may get his name at the top of the news for 12 hours or so. But those comments he made there aren't going to help him in Wauwatosa and in Mequon, in Waukesha, especially with independent women, with moderate Republicans. Hearing his sexism and his racism combined. I mean, every woman who stands up to him is a horrible woman. Every woman who asks a tough question is a horrible woman. And that's just not going to help. I don't think a majority of Americans are going to want to have another episode of this Trump presidency. They don't want to move backwards. That's why moving moving forward is such a promising slogan for Kamala Harris, about going to the future, not the past. I think Kamala Harris is our next president, guys. I really do. I think she's going to ride this wave. She's had a tremendous first 10 days. Next week's going to be great with her VP announcement. We got the Democratic convention coming up. There'll be more good publicity there. That'll be about a month where she's beaten Donald Trump every single day. And
that's a long, long honeymoon. $310 million versus $139 million for Trump. I mean, that's a big haul.
She's got a lot of money. She's got tremendous grassroots support. The number of volunteers in you know, hundreds of 170,000 volunteers or something crazy like that I saw over the last 10 days. I mean, this candidacy is taken off unlike almost any that I've ever seen, with the possible exception of the Obama campaign. And I also think if she picks Pete, she'll get another adrenaline rush of enthusiasm from the base.
Trump dismissing criticisms of his own VP pick said, "They're not voting for him. They're voting for me." Nobody votes for the sidecar, do they, Matt?
Well, Sarah Palin didn't help McCain. J.D. Vance not helping Trump.
And given that Trump is the oldest candidate to ever run for office, my understanding, right? Now that Biden is out, you know, who that sidecar is, who the vice president is, could matter a whole lot more for a guy his age.
Yeah, I think J.D. Vance is going to bring down Trump's numbers. I think any of the candidates in the running for VP for Kamala Harris is going to be a net plus. And so I see a lot of upside here. And it's going to be close, but, you know, the base is going to do the door knocking that they weren't going to do when Joe Biden was on the top of the ticket. I mean, Imagine going knocking on doors and begging people to vote for Joe Biden after his debate performance.
That's hard.
That
would
have been an impossible task.
Matt Rothschild, will there be Kamala Harris Donald Trump debates? I see today he's backing out. He wants nothing to do with her.
I don't think he'll do it. I think he's a coward. I think he knows he's outskilled there and doesn't want to embarrass himself.
You don't think he'll ever take the stage with her? I mean, I think he's rope-a-doping now, but I think eventually he'll have to, won't he, Matt? And then I think he'll, you know, if he doesn't use the N-word in live television, I think it'll be something of an accomplishment. But he's got a debater.
He'll have to if his number, he'll do it only if he's losing badly. Otherwise, he'll try to, you know, skate away from it and win without getting on stage with her.
We have a sentencing hearing coming up for Donald Trump next month, Matt. What's your expectation there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think he's going to get sentenced to jail. Let me put it that way.
Even if he does, our legal friends tell us probably stayed.
Oh,
probably
yeah.
Not
that's
happening
what I mean.
Right away.
Yeah, it'll get appealed and he won't be behind bars while he's running.
Well, I wish you had time to stick around, Matt, but I understand you got a date with a burger and an old fashioned.
Best burger in Madison, my vote, sardines of all places. There you go. I should get it free today.
Tell him. You said it on the Devil's Advocates. If we can help you at all getting a free meal or a drink, you let us know.
That and a brandy old fashioned. I'm good.
Free, I want free, baby.
Matt Rothschild, he always answers the call. That's why we call him Batman. Thank you so much, Matt, for joining us here today.
Great to be with you guys again.
We'll turn it towards the happy hour and the breaking news, the Washington Post exclusive. Trump probably took $10 million from the Egyptians, and Bill Barr probably covered it up. Come back, more Devils.